Okay. Okay, the time is 1 p.m. on February 25th, 2022. This meeting is called to order. Can I get a roll call of board members present, please?
Dr. Guarino?
I am present.
Dr. Bennett?
Here.
Dr. Knopf?
Present.
Angela Powell?
Present.
Mr. Termanson?
Present.
And Dr. Guarino, Dr. Abu Hossein is also in the meeting.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, we're on tab number one. This is our formal hearing with Dr. Zayed Danny Abu Hossein. This is the time and place for formal hearing in the matter of Zayed Danny Abu Hossein in case number 2017-061 and 2020-003. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given to it by ARS 32-924F and G. Dr. Abu Hossein, please introduce yourself.
Good afternoon. Yeah, this is Dr. Zayed Danny Abu Hossein.
Thank you very much. Are you represented by legal counsel today?
No, it's just me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Will the representation for the state introduce themselves for the record?
Yes, Board Chair, members of the board, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan representing this state today.
Thank you. And this is an administrative hearing. It will be conducted in an informal matter and without adherence to the formal rules of evidence required in judicial proceedings. Hearsay is admissible. Irrelevant, immaterial, or unduly repetitive evidence will be excluded. Dr. Abu Hossein, have you any questions on possible actions? If you do have, you can ask them right now, and then we'll proceed with the meeting.
No, I don't have any questions. We can proceed. Thank you.
Okay. The purpose of this formal hearing is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. We have read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, Dr. Abu Hossein, you can present them now. Do you have any?
I do not. Thank you.
Okay. This proceeding is being recorded. Do we actually have a court reporter today? Or are we just doing an audio?
We do.
Okay. As a result, it is important that everyone speaks loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. I'm going to ask the other board members and staff to introduce themselves for the record. And I am Dr. Richard Guarino. I am chairman of the board.
Wayne Bennett, professional member, vice chair.
Angela Powell, public member.
Mitch Turbinson, public member.
Dr. Steve Knopf, professional member.
Alyssa Vanderveen, interim executive director.
Becky Kennel, board investigator.
Ryan Dominic, licensing manager.
Good afternoon. My name is Monique Cody. I'm the board's independent advisor on this final action matter and the other one on the agenda. I'm with the Office of the Attorney General, although I'm independent from Seamus Monahan. My role today is to ensure that procedurally you do everything that's required of a hearing. If you have any questions about legal advice or questions about hearing, I would be the one you would direct those to. I will help you with your motions. The one thing before we get started that I would like to add that is not in the script is that in this matter, the burden is on the state of Arizona. The state needs to demonstrate by a preponderance of the evidence that the factual allegations in their complaint are true by a preponderance of the evidence, as well as the alleged violations. Preponderance of the evidence simply means that it's more likely than not. And so as we go through the hearing and you hear testimony and evidence, keep in mind that the burden is on the state to demonstrate more likely than not that the alleged violations are true and the conclusions of law are true. And I'll work with you on the motions when we get to that point.
Thank you. I'm going to ask that all witnesses be sworn in by the court reporter at this time. That will include Dr. Abu Hossein.
Okay, would you raise your right hand, please? Do you solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Okay, Dr. Hosen, did you swear in as well?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Okay, board members, are there any motions to be considered at this time? Hearing none, we'll continue with the hearing. Mr. Monahan, will you please make your opening statement?
Absolutely. Thank you, Board Chair, members of the board. Again, this is Assistant Attorney General Seamus Monahan representing the state today. And can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. The respondent currently holds an unrestricted license to practice chiropractic in the state of Arizona. This case is in front of you today because the respondent committed multiple actionable violations of board statute and rule. Through the use of the board's investigator, the state will provide a procedural background as well as prove that the respondent failed to comply with the consent agreement he entered into with this board on May 13, 2019. Further, evidence and testimony of the board's interim executive director will show that while the respondent was under a consent agreement for unreported substance abuse concerns and an unreported DUI that occurred in 2018, he did in fact imbibe alcohol, a fact which is confirmed by the respondent in his own answer. This is a direct violation of his order. The evidence will further show that respondent invited complainant ML for a healing ceremony at a bar at the Radisson 2 weeks after entering into his consent agreement with this board. The text messages and statements by two different parties that were in attendance that night will show that the respondent was intoxicated on the night of May 30th, 2019. Additional evidence and testimony will show that the respondent invited ML up to his hotel room for a ceremony, at which time he attempted to convince ML to have sex with him while sexually assaulting her. The evidence will also show that ML attended the ceremony because she thought that the respondent was, quote, a doctor and was going to help her heal. It is important to note that the state is not attempting to prove the underlying crime of sexual assault as it's found in Chapter 13, but a violation of our unprofessional conduct standards. The question for the board is whether or not they believe that ML was a patient of the respondent at the time that this activity occurred. The evidence will also show that while ML was consistent in her statements and allegations to both the Yuma Police Department and the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, the respondent, in contrast, his statements have been inconsistent with the evidence produced. You may hear the respondent today discuss the fact that ML was a poor performing employee who used drugs in the office and that he had to fire her. However, the state will show by the use of respondent's own text messages in the days that followed that he did not fire ML, but in fact begged her to stay until she ultimately quit. The evidence and testimony that will be presented support violations of ARS 32924A4, which state habitual use of alcohol, narcotics, or stimulants to the extent of incapacitating the licensee for the performance of professional duties. Also, 924A5, as it relates to AAC R4790211, which states, suggesting or having sexual contact as defined in ARS Section 13-1401 in the course of patient treatment or within 3 months of the last chiropractic examination, treatment, or consultation with an individual whom a consensual sexual relationship did not exist prior to a chiropractic/patient relationship being established. Further, pursuant to ARS 32924 A5 unprofessional standards as it relates to R4790214, failure to timely comply with the board subpoena pursuant to ARS 32929, which allows the board the authority to receive all documents or information that is requested by it in lieu of an investigation. Further, ARS section 32924A15, which states any conduct or practice to the recognized standards in chiropractic or any conduct or practice that constitutes a danger to the health, welfare, or safety of the patient or the public, or any conduct, practice, or condition that impairs the ability of the licensee to safely and skillfully practice chiropractic. And lastly, Arizona Revised Statute 32924A16, which states violating a board order. At the conclusion of the evidentiary portion of this hearing, I'm going to refer you to the complaint and notice of a hearing that was issued in this matter and urge you to adopt the factual allegations as your findings of fact and the alleged violations as your conclusions of law as stated. After doing so, the state on behalf of the public will respectfully defer to the board's judgment on the appropriate resolution of this matter. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Abulhosen, will you please make your opening statement?
I submitted a personal statement, and you know, that would be my opening statement. I hope the board received that. But, overall, I definitely 100% agree that I did not comply with our initial, agreement as far as the abstinence from alcohol and all that. You know, that was a... there were some extenuating circumstances. Of course, I do take responsibility. I did not follow through with a lot of the stuff. It was a different time in my life. And, like I said, in my personal statement to the board, which I hope they received, like I said, things were difficult at that time. And again, not to make excuses, but, I'm at a different place. So, I do 100%. Agree with the board and the investigators and Mr. Seamus that I did violate our initial agreement as far as that's concerned. As far as the other allegations, I have my, my opposing thoughts about that. And, I'm just here to move forward and just accept whatever the board, hands down as far as, a decision. And, I just need to move forward from this. So. That's really all I have to say about that. And I really appreciate you guys' time and kind consideration.
Thank you. Mr. Monahan, will you please introduce your witnesses for the record?
Absolutely. The state calls investigator Jackie Kennel. Are you ready, Jackie?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Excellent. Please state your full name for the record.
Jackie Kennel.
Thank you. And what is your position with the board, Jackie?
I'm the investigator.
And as the investigator for the board, what are some of your duties?
I receive incoming complaints. I determine whether or not we have jurisdiction over them. If we do, then we proceed to process the complaint.
And are you a responsible party for investigating matters of regarding unprofessional conduct?
Yes.
Thank you. And is the respondent licensed by this board?
Yes, he is.
And what type of license does he hold?
He currently holds a chiropractic license.
Thank you. And is that license currently active, suspended, or lapsed?
It's currently in probation status.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Moving on to the complaint investigation. Can you please explain how this matter first came across your desk?
Initially, I received a phone call from the complainant inquiring how to file a complaint. And as she went into detail about the issues of her complaint, she said that she needed to speak with her attorney. She wasn't quite sure if she was going to file a complaint at that time. After that conversation, I spoke with our executive director at the time and went over the particulars of her phone call. And it was determined by our executive director, who gave me authority to go ahead and open a complaint based on my conversation with her.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 2. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
This is one of our online complaint forms.
Thank you. And is it a true and accurate copy of the complaint filed by AE on behalf of ML against the respondent in case number 2020-03?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Was the respondent properly noticed regarding complaint number 2020-03?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review what's labeled State's proposed Exhibit 3. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
Our notice of complaint.
And is it a true and accurate copy of the notice sent to the respondent on July 11th, 2019?
Yes.
Thank you. Did you request a response from the respondent regarding the allegations, including a subpoena of records?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 4. And do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
It's a subpoena for the opened complaint of notice.
And was the subpoena timely complied with?
No.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 5. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
It is our notice to appear and testify before the board.
Is it a true and accurate copy of the subpoena that was sent to the respondent for the initial review of 2020-03 on October 1st, 2019?
Yes.
And did the respondent comply or timely comply with that subpoena?
No.
Was the respondent properly noticed for his initial review on October 30th, 2019?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 6. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
The notice to appear.
And is it a true and accurate copy of the notice that was sent to the respondent on October 2019? Thank you. Did the board hold a formal interview in this matter?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 7. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
It appears to be the minutes from June 24th, 2020, open session minutes of our board meeting.
Thank you. And is it a true and accurate copy of page 2 of 8 of the official publicly available open session minutes from the respondent's formal interview on June 24th, 2020?
Yes.
Thank you. And as far as you remember, did the board take any actions that day?
We did.
And did they move to consolidate the matters for the purpose of formal hearing? Thank you. Did the complainant in complaint number 2020-03 engage police regarding their allegations of sexual assault?
Yes.
And did the board obtain the police report in that matter?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 8. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
Yuma Police Department summary report.
And is it a true and accurate copy of the Yuma Police Department report regarding the alleged assault received by the board on July 10th, 2019?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you. As part of the complaint investigation, and we'll take these one at a time. As part of the complaint investigation, did the board receive text messages between the victim, ML, and the respondent?
Yes.
Between the victim and an associate of the respondent known as Devin?
Yes.
The victim and the respondent? Oh, yes. Sorry, that's a double. And the victim and the respondent's ex-wife?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 9. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
Complaint of employment termination before the State of California Department of Fair Employment and Housing.
Thank you. Is it a true and accurate copy of the email with attached Department of Fair Employment and Housing complaint and the text exchanges as mentioned above received by the board on July 13, 2019?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Was the respondent properly noticed for the formal hearing today?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 10. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is this document?
A complaint and notice of hearing.
Thank you. And is it a true and accurate copy of the complaint and notice of hearing mailed to the recipient on January 13, 2022?
Yes.
And to your knowledge, did the respondent timely answer the complaint and notice of hearing?
Yes.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 11. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
What is it?
A response.
And is it a true and accurate copy of the respondent's answer to the complaint and notice of the hearing received by the board on February 8, 2022?
Yes.
Is the respondent currently under a consent agreement and probationary order by the board?
Yes.
Please take a moment to review State's proposed Exhibit 1. Do you recognize this document?
Yes.
And what is it?
Consent agreement and order of probation.
Is it a true and accurate copy of the consent agreement and probationary order with terms that respondent is subject to signed by the respondent on May 12th of 2019?
Yes.
Page 3 of that order, it was.
Excuse me, I believe that was March 12th.
March 12th. Okay, thank you. Yes.
Of 2019.
Thank you. Page 3 on page 7, page 3 of that order, page 7, the order declares its effective date. Can you please tell us the date stated on the document on which it became effective?
March 12th of 2019.
And again, the board signed the document at what point, at which date on Bates page 15 did the board sign the document?
I don't have that page in front of me.
Okay, that's fine. Right. Moving on. As part of your investigation, did you determine whether the respondent, were you able to determine whether the respondent was compliant with any of the terms of his consent agreement?
Yes, I was able to determine, and no, he was not compliant.
Okay, thank you. I have no more questions.
Okay, thank you very much. Dr. Abulhosen, do you have any questions for Ms. Kennel, the board investigator?
I do not, no.
Okay. Board members, do you have any questions for Ms. Kennel? Okay. Hearing none, Mr. Monahan, will you please call your next witness?
I will. And before I call my next witness, if I could, I'd like, the state would like to proffer exhibits 1 through 11 to be put into the record.
Okay. We don't need a motion for that, do we?
Board Chairman, you would need to ask the respondent if he has any objection to the board accepting exhibits 1 through 11.
Okay. Dr. Abulhosen, do you have any objection to those exhibits 1 through 11?
I do not, no.
Okay. Thank you.
And you don't need a motion. As chairperson, you can admit those exhibits into evidence.
Okay. So admitted, 1 through 11.
Thank you. The state now calls interim executive director Alyssa Vanderveen. Okay, please state your name again for the record.
Alyssa Vanderveen.
And what is your position with the board?
Interim executive director.
And what are your duties as the executive director for the board?
Oversight to board operations, monitoring and compliance, licensing, investigation, and other administrative functions.
And do you have any prior compliance tracking and investigatory experience?
I do. As chief deputy for the county clerk and recorder's office, I oversaw voter registration challenges and voter fraud investigations. For DES, I supported the chief medical officer and their office in administrative oversight to the division's medical eligibility review program and the quality management investigation.
Thank you. In your capacity as the interim executive director, did you have a chance to review the entire file for this matter?
I did.
And did you adopt and work on the file yourself as if it was your own?
I did.
And if you had any questions regarding the file or the investigation, was the board's investigator, Ms. Kennel, available to assist you?
She was.
Thank you. All right, let's get into the substance now of these documents. Please take a moment to review state's Please take a moment to review state's exhibit one.
Okay.
Do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what is it?
It is the consent agreement and finding of fact for Dr. Hosen.
Thank you. On Bates page 15 of exhibit one, can you indicate the effective date of the agreement?
The 13th day of May of 2009.
And is that signed by both the board chair? I'm sorry, did the respondent sign the agreement?
Yes, he did.
Thank you. And did the board sign the agreement?
Yes, the board signed the agreement.
And what date did the board sign the agreement on?
The 13th day of May.
Thank you.
2019.
So on Bates page of that same exhibit, Bates pages 9 through 14, contain the terms of the agreement. Can you please state the terms of the agreement as they are found on Bates page 9 through 14?
Yes, probation for 5 years, a board-approved monitor, abstain from alcohol, submit to random screenings within 7 days from the date of the order, to pay for the cost of investigation within 2 years, to take the ethics and jurisprudence exams within 6 months, and to pass all 5 sections of the EBAS within 1 year. Then continuing education for a total of 24 hours and 12 hours in ethics of that 24 hours.
So of those roughly 6 terms that you just mentioned that the respondent agreed with, were you able to determine whether he complied with any of them?
I was not able to determine that he complied with any of those items.
Thank you. And did the respondent request assistance from the board in complying with the order at any time since May 13th of 2019?
No, not that I was aware of.
Did the respondent request a modification or early termination of his agreement?
He did not.
What is your understanding after reviewing the file and all the materials of why the board placed the respondent on this probationary agreement?
My understanding is that that he had a conviction in California for domestic battery and child endangerment, that he entered into a stipulated surrender of license for his California license, and that in 2018 he was arrested and charged with a DUI.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review State's Exhibit 11. Do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what is it?
This is a letter that was a response from the respondent that was submitted to the board on February 8th of 2002.
And in his answer, does the respondent admit to violating his board order?
He does. He states that I will take full responsibility and admit to not abstaining 100%. Even though it was on a rare occasion, I have to sincerely apologize to the board for not following their full absence of stipulation.
And on Bates page 98 there, at the very bottom at 3D, does the we'll get to that later. Did the respondent admit drinking alcohol, as you just mentioned in his answer?
Yes.
And is this a violation of his board order?
It is.
And does the respondent admit to forgetting to take his EBAS examination?
He does.
Did the board receive information leading to a complaint regarding the respondent on July 13th, 2019?
Yes.
And did that complaint allege that the respondent was intoxicated at the time the conduct that led to the complaint occurred?
It did.
How long after the respondent signed the consent agreement on March 12th did this conduct occur?
Approximately 2 weeks, I believe it occurred.
I think it was 2.5 months, correct?
I believe it was May 31st of 2019. The complaint was later. Sorry.
Okay, and what? And I apologize. What date did he sign the consent agreement?
May 13th, 2019. Or May 12th, 2019, sorry.
And I believe we, the investigator did correct us that the agreement was signed on March 12th.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So exactly how long after?
Approximately 2 months.
Okay, thank you. I apologize.
Sorry about that.
Please take a moment to review State's Exhibit 2.
What page is that on? Sorry.
State's page 16.
Okay.
Do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what is it?
It's an online complaint form.
On Bates page 25 of the same exhibit, on paragraph 2, does the complaint indicate that the respondent was drinking?
It does.
And what does it say?
That the complainant met the respondent at the lobby of the bar in the Radisson for a ceremony, and that when Dr. Hosen arrived, he was clearly under the influence of alcohol. He ordered 2 more drinks at the bar.
Okay, thank you. And he asked ML to meet him at the bar that night?
Correct.
Not in the lobby, not in the room, but at a bar?
No, that is her statement, is that Dr. Hosen asked the complainant to meet him at the lobby bar at the Radisson.
Okay, thank you. And again, at line 14 on that same page, does the complaint indicate that the respondent was drinking?
Yes. When Dr. Hosen arrived, he was clearly under the influence of alcohol. He ordered 2 more drinks at the bar.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review State's Exhibit 8. It's at Bates page 38. I'm sorry, that's Bates page 40.
Okay.
On Bates page 44 of Exhibit 8, at the top of paragraph 2, does ML indicate whether the respondent was drinking?
While at the bar, she stated that she observed Dr. Abelhosen had approximately 2 alcoholic drinks.
And what is Exhibit 8?
Exhibit 8 is the Yuma Department Police Report.
Thank you. On base page 46, fourth paragraph from the bottom, does the officer indicate whether he was able to confirm whether the respondent was at the bar with ML on the night in question?
He was. It states, I was able to confirm that, in fact, the respondent or the complainant was at the bar with the doctor on 5:30 of 2019 at approximately 8 p.m. They were at the bar for approximately 30 minutes before they left.
Thank you. Now, turning back to Exhibit 11 at Bates, page 99. Paragraph 3, four lines down, the respondent indicates how long he was at the bar with the respondent. What is it?
He states, we were at the bar briefly and proceeded up to the room.
Is it consistent with the officer's report that they were at the bar for 30 minutes and had two drinks?
No.
In your opinion, briefly is not 30 minutes?
It would not be.
Thank you. In your opinion, are ML statements in her complaint and the police report regarding respondents' use of alcohol consistent with one another?
They are.
Thank you. Please take a moment to review State's Exhibit 9 at Bates, page 52.
Okay.
Do you recognize this document?
I do.
And what are these documents?
These documents were documents that were submitted from the complainant's attorney, and they are the complaint of employment discrimination before the State of California Department of Fair Labor and Employment and Housing.
And are there also text messages between the victim and the respondent?
There are.
The victim and the associate known as Devin?
Yes.
And the victim and the ex-wife of the respondent known as Edith?
Yes.
Thank you. So turning to Bates, page 59 of that same exhibit, who is this text conversation purported to be between?
It is between the associate known as Devin and the complainant.
And who is Devin?
It's
in
my,
your understanding?
In my understanding, he is referred to as the quote-unquote nephew of Dr. Abelhosen and also as his associate or protege.
Thank you. In those text messages on Bates, page 59, does ML indicate whether the respondent was under the influence on the night in question?
He does.
On Bates, page 63, does Devin purport to substantiate ML's statements of the respondent's drunkenness?
He does. He states, I even told him before he even went downstairs not to do this to himself, not to let his employees see him like this. You should say something to Edith. The complainant states, is this when he drinks or what? I don't know what got into what got going on with him, but when he drinks, it comes out.
Thank you. And again, on base page 64, does Devin again substantiate the allegations of intoxication?
He does. He states he has a darkness inside him, and it comes out when he drinks.
Thank you. Again, turning to Bates, page 71 of that same exhibit. Does Devin again substantiate the allegations of drunkenness?
He does. He states, no, he ain't like that. He just when he drinks and he does dumb stuff. And yesterday he exceeded his limit 5 times over.
Thank you. And if you could, what are the dates indicated on those text messages?
Friday, May 31st.
And is that the day after the event in question?
It is.
Thank you. Turning to Bates page 85 and 86 of the same exhibit.
Yes.
And who is this text message between?
The complainant and Dr. Abelhosen.
On base page 86, can you please start reading at this was very unusual, and you can stop at nothing but the best.
This was very unusual of a situation to deal with, and I felt poisoned and barely able to leave the room yesterday. I felt unusually sick and weak all day yesterday. This is a strange space for me to be in. And I apologize that I transferred that to you. I want to assure you that if you decide to come back, that only the most positive intention, vibration, and energy will be transmitted.
And who is this text from?
This is from Dr. Abelhosen.
It's from the respondent to whom?
The complainant.
Thank you. And what is the date that this text was purportedly sent on?
Saturday, June 1st.
And would that be roughly 2 days after the event in question?
That would be.
Thank you. So again, on July 13, 2019, the board received a complaint from the respondent from an attorney on behalf of ML. The specific allegations in the complaint can be found at Bates page 25 and 26 of Exhibit 2. Specifically, starting at line 14 on page 25 and going to line 8 on page 26. Could you please state what those specific allegations were?
That he was under the influence of alcohol, that Dr. Hosen rubbed the complainant's thighs and then started moving his hands further up her thighs, and she tried to push him away. And then Dr. Hosen laid down next to the complainant, and he put his hands down her pants and started to grope her. He put one hand down the back of her pants, groping her buttocks, and he put another hand down the front of her pants, groping her vagina. She pushed him off and begged him to stop. Undaunted and still intoxicated, Dr. Hosen continued to try to have sex with her and told her that no one was there and that no one had to know anything. He said she didn't have to worry and that they should just play around and have sex.
Thank you. Now, we're just going to match up some statements here. So turning to Exhibit 8 at page 40 again.
Sorry, which page 40?
We can go to 44, page 44.
Okay.
So on Exhibit 8, it Bates page 44 and 45 paragraphs, full paragraphs 1 through 4 consecutively contain the specific allegations in the police report. What were the allegations ML reported to the officer?
That she to meet with Dr. Hosen at the Radisson Hotel in the bar. And that she described the initial interaction with Dr. Hosen as being different from usual. She stated that she had always been very professional ever since she had worked with him. She stated that she looked up to Dr. Abelhosen and his wife and never thought anything bad would happen between them. While she was at the bar with Dr. Albohosen, there was another male subject who was only known by his first name. He stated that this individual, which is Devin, is Dr. Albohosen's personal assistant. He is here from Yuma, but he travels with Dr. Hosen everywhere that he goes. She briefly explained that she was worried about Devin due to the fact that he was a minor, and that after what happened with Dr. Hosen, she was afraid something bad could have already happened to him. She also stated that while at the bar, Dr. Hosen was being very touchy with her. She stated that he made comments stating that she was ugly, but then stated he was kidding and started telling her that she was very pretty. Dr. Albohosen was then touching her a few times on the shoulder and the arm. She stated that he had never done any of this before. At one point, Dr. Albohosen touched her nose. She stated that it felt unusual. The complaint also stated that after hanging out in the bar area for some time, Dr. Albohosen asked her to go up to his room. All three of them walked up to Albohosen's room. The complainant advised that Dr. Albohosen would stay in hotels whenever he was in town on Wednesdays through Fridays. Once they got to the room, Devin walked into the restroom to take a shower. She stated that while they were in there, Dr. Albohosen dropped cocoa powder on the floor. He asked the complainant to lie down on the bed, at which point she did. She stated that she laid down facing upwards with her head toward the headrest. When she did this, Dr. Albohosen used both of his arms to put them under her. He picked her up. He moved her closer to the middle of the bed. When he did this, he proceeded to lie down next to her facing upwards, then turned and faced toward her on his right side. Dr. Albohosen proceeded to place his right arm under the complainant's body and lay his left arm over her stomach area. He then placed his right palm on her lower back and his left palm on her stomach area. He began to slide his hands under her jeans toward her genital areas. The complainant stated that she immediately turned toward Dr. Albohosen and told him to stop. Dr. Hosen stopped, and she told him that he thought he was a professional and didn't want this. She tried to act normal and to prevent anything bad from happening to her. She stated she was scared and uncomfortable and immediately grabbed her things and left.
Thank you. Turning to base page 46 of the Yuma Police Department report, does the officer indicate whether he viewed the surveillance footage from the bar on the night in question?
He did.
Did the officer substantiate comments made by ML about the respondent's actions while seated at the bar?
During the video at the bar, I was able to confirm that Dr. Albohosen did touch the complainant a few times on the left arm and on her nose, how she described to me. There was no audio recording, and I was unable to see what was being said during the conversation.
Thank you. So going to the next exhibit, Exhibit 9, you can turn to Bates, page 60. Just let me know when you're there.
I am ready.
So on Bates, page 60, who is this conversation between?
The complainant and the individual known as Devin.
Does ML indicate what happened to Devin on the night in question, and what is her allegation, if she does?
She does. Her allegation is that she states, he was being hella touchy, and I didn't like it, and he didn't even care. I told him I respected him and Edith, and he persisted. Just dumb shit. I went because legit needed help, but I knew it felt off, man.
And does Devin substantiate the feeling by ML of the encounter being, quote, off, unquote?
He does. I felt it, too. That's why I went to take a shower, because my angles were telling me he has wrong intentions. Your intuition told you to leave.
And in your opinion, what is your understanding of the use of the word angles?
Feelings or intentions, why they were in the room together.
Okay, thank you. Turning to base page 62, does ML more specifically extrapolate on what happened?
She does. She states, he tried to get me to have sex with him, Devin, telling me no one there is there, so no one has to know. What kind of shit is that? Man, I'm trying to grow here.
And does Devin indicate in that same text message that he felt ML was withholding information from him? Just above what she says.
He did more than just be touchy. I know he did because I heard you say something and then just leave. What did he do? Be honest with me.
And that's Devin texting to ML.
Yes, that is.
Okay, thank you. On base page 68 now, does Devin indicate that the respondent wanted to be alone with the complainant?
It does. He states, it makes sense. Earlier, I wanted to go down to the bar area, and he wanted me to stay in the room. But I said no. He knew he was going to flirt with you.
Thank you. On base page 72, who is this text message exchange between?
Edith, Dr. Abelhosen's wife at the time, and the complainant.
And does ML indicate what happened on the night in question to the respondent?
She does. She says, hello, Edith. I hate to tell you disturbing news, especially this late at night, but I respect you enormously and your marriage with Dr. Dan. However, he did disrespect both of us tonight by flirting, touching, and trying to get me to have sexual relations with him. I was supposed to do a rapé with him and Devin, and I felt something was off because it didn't seem ceremonial at all. As soon as Devin went to the restroom to take a shower, he told me to lay down on the bed, and I thought he was going to have me do meditative healing of some sort. He ended up just lying down and told me no one was there and no one has to know anything. I drew the line there and told him I was a professional and that I refused to disrespect you guys' marriage, and got my things and left. I want you to know the full truth.
Thank you. And in your opinion, based on your review of the report, are the factual allegations submitted by ML in the complaint, the statements that she made in the police report to the Yuma police, and the text messages from ML to the three individuals we just discussed recounting the event, do you believe that these allegations are substantially similar across all three mediums?
I do.
Thank you. Please turn to base page 81. And let me know when you get there.
Okay.
Oh, and the text messages between ML and Edith, what was the date on those text messages?
What was that page number again? 68?
72.
May 30th.
And what time?
11:29 p.m.
And is it your understanding that this was after the incident on the night in question?
I do.
Thank you. Okay, turning back to base page 81. Base page 81 through 83, who is this text exchange between?
The complainant and Dr. Abelhosen.
And does ML indicate the nature of the offense to the respondent?
He does.
And does the respondent rebut any wrongdoing?
He does. He apologizes.
Does he rebut any wrongdoing? Does he deny any wrongdoing?
No.
Does the respondent indicate remorse to ML?
He does.
Does he indicate what he's remorseful about?
He says, I'm really sorry about last night. I don't know what got into me. I'm very sorry again that you and you did not deserve that.
And what are the date of those texts?
Friday, May 31st.
Thank you. And that's the day after the incident in question?
It is.
Turning to Exhibit 11, specifically Bates, page 99. At paragraph 2, paragraph labeled 2. Mm-hmm. Does the respondent admit to sending text messages apologizing to ML after the incident?
He does.
Does the respondent indicate in his answer that he had to terminate ML's employment for drug use?
He does.
Are these statements consistent with the text message at base page 85 to 88?
They are not.
And can you please summarize the text messages made by the respondent at base page 85 to
88?
You don't have to summarize.
Apologizes to her for what happened and begs her to stay and to not quit her job and that they really need her and they really like her in the office.
And does it in fact say, quote, I want to make sure you understand that if you decided to stay, your trust will be earned back and nothing will jeopardize that again?
He does.
Thank you. In your opinion, are the statements made by the respondent in his answer at Bates page 99 consistent with his text messages between himself and ML?
No, they are not.
Based on your review of the text messages between the respondent or ML and the respondent's ex-wife, was there any discussion of firing her for drug use?
There was not.
Based on your review of the text messages between ML and the respondent, was the respondent, in fact, attempting to keep ML as opposed to firing her?
Yes, he was.
Thank you. The state rests.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Monahan. This is Dr. Guarino again, and I want to ask Dr. Abulhosen if he has any questions for Ms. Alyssa Vanderveen.
I submitted my personal statement. Honestly, I'm not interested in rehashing all of that. There's a lot of complication there. There's a lot of text messages that can be misconstrued in one way or the other. I really honestly just, I'm so over this whole situation and I'm just going to defer to the board. But, you know, there's, if you look at a lot of text messages, you can interpret them in different ways. And, you know, that's what I put in my personal statement. My statement, it is what it is. It's not going to change. That day, yes, I did violate a previous agreement with the board. So I will concede to the fact that our previous agreement, you guys were very kind enough to extend that to me. And, you know, I did not meet that burden. And I do see why the board would have a little bit of trepidation of, you know, entering into another agreement with myself. And, but, you know, I am where I am right now. And, I'm perfectly willing to concede to whatever the board decides to do. I do not want to get into details of that evening because I have my own view and interpretation. And, you know, I know things look a certain way, but they're not. You know, we could go through the whole exhibits again and I could, you know, call Mr. Vanderveen and you know, Jackie Cannell, the investigator. Honestly, it's, I'm over that. Seriously. I just, I'm dealing with a lot right now with a loss in my family. And like I said, I'm in a different place than I am then. I do have therapy right now. I do take antabuse daily. I abstain from alcohol completely. I know it's after the fact. again, with that whole situation, it was, and I put it in my personal statement, and I don't want to just kind of, you know, burden the board with repeating my statement, but it was very convenient that within a few days, you know, I was asked to pay $100,000 and everything would go away. And that's not what I'm going to do. Listen, I'm going to take responsibility. The events of those evening were unfortunate, not like they appear, 100%. I actually tried to cancel that evening.
Okay, this is Dr. Guarino. I'm going to interrupt you right now.
Okay,
you're going to get a chance to rehash anything that you want to, but at this stage in our hearing, this is your opportunity to question Ms. Vanderveen specifically. Otherwise, you'll get a chance to say a closing statement. And it sounds like you're at a closing statement right now.
That was a closing statement, yes. Yeah, I'm not gonna burden the board and myself with.
Okay.
You guys have everything in front of you, so you could look at it. I obviously just
we do, and we've read your statement.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. All right. So we can proceed.
Okay, board members, do you have any questions for Ms. Vanderveen? Okay, then let's move on. Mr. Monahan, do you have another witness to call?
I do not, board chair, members of the board. Thank you.
Okay. All right, so that said, this is Dr. Guarino again. Dr. Abulhosen, now is your chance to give an opportunity to respond to anything extra that you have heard so far. Regarding the evidence that's been submitted. And I understand you don't want to rehash it, and you don't have to if you don't want to. This is your chance to speak if you want to.
And I appreciate that. I really appreciate you guys' time. And again, the board's been very kind. I submitted my statements. I'm not going to burden you guys with anything else. Obviously, I post certain things that's in my statement. Other than that, it's just in you guys' hands, and I will. Nothing out of my conduct has ever affected, me, and my patients, that relationship, or, you know, I'm great at what I do and I love it. It's an absolute art. It's, you know, what I, love to do, wake up in the morning, whether it's for free with my family or my athletes that I, sponsor, or whether it's coming to the office and making a living out of it. To me, chiropractic is something that I'll always do regardless. It's not a financial thing. It is like a calling for me. And I think I put that in my statement. I understand. I definitely have not complied. I've violated a lot of things. Now, as far as the allegations by ML, 100%, I refute that. As far as the other stuff, it's very black and white. I am not going to sugarcoat it. One, I dropped the ball completely. Obviously, I would love to continue to practice chiropractic. And, you know, I've been practicing for 18 years now coming up. And here in Yuma, coming up on 12 years, you know, I've my patients are my kids' kids. You know, it's they're their age. And so I do have like a legacy that I'd like to continue. I'd love to continue to practice. But again, I do understand that I've not complied with a lot of things, but everything's correctable. I've corrected a lot of things in my life. These complaints are from, 2019. I do, again, you know, the whole child endangerment and all that stuff from 2017, I believe. I refuted that completely. The only reason why I entered an agreement is just, you know, I had bad counsel and it was the path of least resistance. And that's kind of what I've done. There's a lot of things that I can refute, but you know what? Honestly, I do not want to waste the board's time and go back and forth and back and forth and nitpick and, you know, exhibit this and exhibit that. I am at fault. I have made a bad decisions. As far as patient care, I've been consistent and amazing. Like I said, I've been best in Yuma for like 9 years in a row. When I'm here, when I'm a doctor, I am That's all that I am, even outside of my practice. And did I make mistakes? Yes, 100%. Am I definitely in a position financially and otherwise to correct those? Yes. And like I said, I'm just going to leave it up to the board to decide whatever they decide. And I will accept that decision. And if it's penalties, suspension, if I hope to God not, it's revocation, because that's, you know, my love, my livelihood. You know, that's okay. All right. That's where I am right now.
Thank you. And you'll get a last word in a bit. But right now I'm going to ask Mr. Monahan if you have any closing statement remarks, or if you have anything you'd like to say at this point.
I do, Board Chair, members of the board. I am just going to close out here real quick. You know, I think I gave a pretty thorough opening statement. We've gone through a lot of evidence. We've matched up a lot of inconsistent and consistent statements. You know, the respondent's own words are that he did not comply with his board order, that he was drinking 2 months after, and that's what led to the conduct that was complained of in the complaint. The state has also shown that the respondent has not been consistent in his statements regarding what happened on May 30th, 2019. As I stated before, ultimately it's up to the board to decide whether they believe that ML was a patient at the time that this conduct occurred. So I'll leave it there. And if you have any questions, I'm available. Thank you.
Okay.
Dr. Guarino.
Mr. Monahan.
I did not make my prayer for relief. I apologize. So based on the evidence presented, the state respectfully requests that you adopt the factual allegations and alleged violations in the complaint and notice of hearing as your findings of fact and conclusions of law as stated. After having done so, again, the state on behalf of the public respectfully defers to the board's judgment on the appropriate resolution of this matter. Thank you.
Okay. Let me go to my board members at this time. Do you have any questions for Dr. Abulhosen or Mr. Monahan?
Mr. Chairperson, may I clarify one item with the state's attorney?
Yes.
In the factual allegations, it states that the respondent was not present at the formal interview on June 24th, 2020. I might have misheard, but it sounded to me like the state's witness said he was present. So I'd like to clarify that before the board goes into deliberations.
It's my understanding that he was not present at the formal interview.
All right. I just want to clarify. I might have misunderstood then. Thank you.
Yep.
Okay.
Sorry, if I may jump in, I was there was a formal interview that was done that I was present,
nope,
and there was
nope,
another one. That...
Nope.
Okay.
All right. So
I just don't know which one I was, which one I attended.
Excuse me, guys. This is not the appropriate time unless the board has questions of Mr. Hosen.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So, board members, we're going to enter into deliberations now, which means we're done taking any testimony. You've heard Dr. Hosen wishes to continue to practice. He has not complied with the board order to demonstrate that he wanted to continue to practice. You know, I think that we have different options. If the board chooses to revoke his license, you can make a motion to adopt the factual allegations and conclusions of law as accepted. I mean, as presented by Mr. Monahan, or you could, if you felt like the sexual component of that was, you know, not pertinent, you could still adopt the factual allegations and conclusions of law minus that, and then we could debate on what we think is the appropriate action at that time. So I will entertain a motion if someone would like to make one.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that we adopt the factual allegations and conclusions of law as presented by Mr. Monahan on behalf of the state.
Okay, is there a second?
I second the motion.
Okay, so I've got a first by Dr. Bennett and a second by Ms. Powell. Is there any further discussion on that before we vote? Okay, hearing none. I'll go ahead and call for the vote, and we should do a roll call vote. Those in favor?
Dr. Are we roll Garino? Calling?
Dr. Garino is aye.
Dr. Bennett?
Aye.
Dr. Kanoff?
Aye.
Ms. Powell?
Aye.
Mr. Turbinson?
Aye.
Okay, so we have five ayes in favor. Are there any opposed? Should be none because we only have five board members. So the ayes have it. And so now what to do about it? Is there a motion to revoke or otherwise?
Mr. Chairman, I move that the board invoke immediate revocation with a civil penalty in the amount of $1,000 for each violation, specifically with regard to the use of alcohol, inappropriate sexual behavior, and failure to comply with the board order, and that the reimbursement be made for the cost of this investigation.
Excuse me, Mr. Bennett, I would like you to maybe just remove the word immediate revocation because there are appeal rights. So just remove that word and then your motion is fine. Thank you.
So removed.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, second by Dr. Kanoff. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, let's do a roll call vote. Those in favor?
Dr. Garino?
Aye.
Dr. Bennett?
Aye.
Dr. Kanoff?
Aye.
Ms. Powell?
Aye.
Mr. Turbinson?
Aye.
Okay, there's five ayes. Any opposed? Okay, there should be none because there's only five of us. So the ayes have it. Let the record show that this concludes the administrative hearing by the State of Arizona Board of Chiropractic Examiners. The vote has, the board has voted to revoke license number 8168. With the penalties listed. Dr. Abulhosen, you will receive the necessary documents in the mail, and the order will explain your appeal rights in the event that you choose to challenge the board's decision. The time to appeal does not begin to run until the documents are mailed to you. If you have any questions, please call the board's interim executive director at the board's office on another day. This concludes our formal hearing. Well, thank you. Okay, the time is 2:13. Does anybody need a quick break or should we go into tab number two? Ms. Powell needs a break? Okay.
Dr. Garino, tab number two will be fairly quick if the board is okay with that. We do have a preliminary matter.
Okay. Well,
okay, is it okay if I just jump in, Monique? I know that he hasn't called the formal hearing yet.
Feel free, yes.
Okay, thank you. Board Chair, members of the board, we do have a preliminary issue regarding Dr. Matera, and I'll have staff discuss what they have done. But I have worked with staff. We have done everything to notice him. We do know that he does not have actual notice, as both the regular mail and certified mail has come back as undeliverable. So for that reason, the state, I did not prepare anything for today because we're not in a position to move forward. And Monique can give you your options as far as what to do with this matter. But I will let Interim Executive Director Vanderveen discuss with you what she has tried to do. And it is my contention that I don't think there's a lot more that we can do to notice him. So just wanted to put that out there.
In attempt to locate Dr. Matera, I looked up the last address that we had for him and identified that it was a local motel in Lake Havasu. I contacted that location. It is a residential hotel, and they stated that Dr. Matera had been asked to leave the hotel for failure to pay for his room, and that they had not seen him in a significant period of time, and that there was the likely possibility that he had passed away. We did identify that he has an active warrant in Mojave County, and that at some point in time in 2021, he got married, but we've not been able to locate him. We've run down other addresses. We looked up the girlfriend, wife, and tried calling some numbers that were associated with her, but have not been able to locate him.
Staff also queried the coroner's office for Mojave County and looked at vital records and was unable to find any determination of where he's at or what happened.
Oh, we also contacted Mojave County Jail and the surrounding counties to see if there was a death certificate or anything available there or if he was incarcerated.
Okay, so Ms. Cody, what are our options?
It would assist to discuss your options if Ms. Vanderveen could tell us the current status of respondent's chiropractic license.
His license is currently administratively suspended because of the complaint. His license has been maintained in that status. But really effectively, it should be lapsed. He should not be licensed based on our process.
What year was his license last renewed?
2019, I believe.
How many years of non-renewals does a lapse occur?
2 years.
Okay, that's helpful. So there are a few options here. Since respondent has been unable to be contacted, the board could vote to dismiss this item. And if the time frame for lapse has already passed, once the dismissal is final, i.e. he hasn't suddenly reappeared and appeals this case, then the lapse would become effective. Another option would be, and this is an option that boards rarely do, would be dismissal without prejudice, and then his file would be flagged for if he has not yet lapsed and he would try to reapply. So it's a dismissal. It's just a matter of where we are in the proceeding. The other option would be to continue this matter for 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, whatever you feel is appropriate to provide additional time for the staff to try to locate the respondent. So table the item for additional time is an option, or dismiss and lapse, or dismiss and flag the file would be the three.
So if the board votes to dismiss and lapse, that means that he's an unlicensed practitioner. He would have to go through the renewal process if he ever wanted to work again in the state of Arizona.
He would have to reapply for licensure.
Right. That's what I meant to say. Did I say renewal? Okay. Yeah. So he would have to reapply and then we would have the whole thing in front of us. So what is the advantage again of dismissing with prejudice? Is there any?
Just with that, because there's a statute found under Title 32 that while an investigation is ongoing, the respondent can still renew, but once the lapse date is final, then he wouldn't even have that opportunity. There's a little bit of grace period for him.
Okay.
Or you could table it for 6 months and then come back and then affirmatively lapse. It just depends on the timing and how you feel about it.
Okay. Board members, any questions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm wondering what the administrative burden to the board of each of these options would be. It seems as though the most expedient and least administratively burdensome option would be to the first option, to dismiss the item and let the lapse be effective. So I would like clarification about what kind of administrative burden we would have if we were to select each of the options, and how much internal follow-up would there be before we could put this thing to bed?
The board staff can manage whatever you would like to put forward. We can track it in the database, and should he reapply for licensure, be able to pull up the notes and comments regarding this matter and track it that way. If you would like, we can, and you choose to table it, we'll just track it in through our monitoring and compliance process and bring it back to you in 6 months if that's what you'd like to do. So it's up to you. Administratively, it's not going to be a difficult list for staff.
Just to add to that, I can tell you that Alyssa probably spent close to 4 or 5 hours last week just trying to notice Dr. Matera. That was aside from any of the other work she had to do, was just trying to hunt him down. So if that helps with the administrative burden question.
Thank you. Yes, I would speak in favor of the first option. Let's just get this thing done. It's already gone well beyond reasonable time considerations, and I think we just need to put this behind us with at least a commitment of future obligation of resources possible.
Okay. Just to be clear, Dr. Richard Matera is not present. And so I need to actually call the tab and for the formal hearing, or we can just, we know that he's not here. We know what we know as far as we can't even contact him. Can we just make a motion?
Right. A board member would make a motion to dismiss this item due to the fact that the doctor has been unable to be located or something to that effect.
Okay. Someone want to make that motion?
Oh, Mr. Chairman, I'll move that we dismiss this item due to the fact that the complainant was unable to be located and noticed.
Okay. I believe
the subject of the complaint was unable to be contacted and noticed.
Okay. We got a first by Dr. Bennett and a second by Dr. Kanoff. Any further discussion? I'll call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Are there any opposed? Okay. We have 5 ayes, so the motion carries. Okay. Final call to the public. Anyone? No one? Okay. Thanks, everybody. This meeting is adjourned at 2:24 p.m.